Good morning. So grateful to have each and every one of you here this morning, and we're thankful that you have chosen to be here to worship our God with us. I thought I'd do a lesson on remember this morning, since it is Memorial Day. Thought I would share some thoughts with you concerning that. But first of all, I wanted to tell you that there is no bulletin, there is no messenger today because Jamie Fellow and Janet Garvin were not able to print one this week. So hopefully that we'll have one next week. You see on the screen there on your left, that's something that means a great deal to Becky and me. That particular artwork was given to us many years ago, when we were in Huntsville, Alabama. I was teaching a young adult class, and from there, we were about to leave to go to Preston Road to the School of Preaching there, and the group gave us that artwork, all signed their names on the back of that. I still have that in my office, so it means a great deal to us. Helps us to remember. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our places. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. In 1971, our federal government mandated that the last Monday in May become a legal holiday. This day, known as Memorial Day or as Decoration Day, was established as a patriotic holiday to honor all American servicemen and women who sacrificed their lives for our country. And this day is intended to remind us of the multitude of people who believed freedom and democracy were more valuable than even their own lives. But many people, I think probably the younger generations especially, don't comprehend the true meaningfulness of Memorial Day. For many people, it is just another holiday when they get off work, get out of school, go to the lake for a picnic. A sprinkling of people will fly flags at their homes. Some will assemble in small groups for public ceremonies. And the news will briefly highlight the day's events. But most people will enjoy a day of relaxation and pleasure, totally oblivious to the true significance of this day. But I can guarantee you that the families of those servicemen who were killed in action will shed tears, remember their loved ones with great fondness, and will never take this day for granted. I know there are many in this congregation who served in the armed forces, and many of you saw friends or soldiers next to you or close to you who died in combat. And certainly this time of the year is a very special day. Let's look at 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning in verse 12 through verse 15. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I also will be diligent that any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. And certainly as a minister, as Bible class teachers, that is our role, is to call things to your remembrance. Not to necessarily bring up new things or new ideas, and certainly not new doctrine, but to cause you to remember what God has done through Jesus Christ for you and for me. You know, didn't God give us a valuable treasure when he gave us the capacity to remember? There are some people who have photographic memories. They remember everything. But most of us do well to remember the highlights of our lives. The first day of school, our baptism, first date, first car, wedding, children's births. And even in our Bible class, it was, what was his name? Alan, yeah. Alan, who said something about memory. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the less reliable my memory is. I have more difficulty remembering things. Before the Israelites entered into the promised land, Moses gave them a warning. It was a warning from God. They were to teach their children and their grandchildren about God. The commands of God were to be put on signs on their hands, on their frontals, on their foreheads, on the doorpost of their houses, and on their gates. And Moses told them to remember, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, listen, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. It is amazing to me that God's people could forget all that he had done for them. But they did. It is even more amazing to me that unless we take the time to reflect on all that God has done for us, we too will forget. Memorials are extremely important. God recognized the need and the importance of establishing memorials in order that forgetful people such as you and me would always remember significant events in our sacred history. One such memorial was the Passover itself, or also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this is one memorial that is probably more familiar to us as far as those observed in the Old Testament. God did not want the Israelite nation to forget their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. And this day was to be recognized as a memorial to them, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. When their descendants would question them about the significance of that day, they were to say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. God did not want them to forget that it was his powerful hand that delivered every person who put blood on his doorpost and removed all leaven from his house. And in like manner, for the Christian, the Lord's Supper is closely related to the Jewish Passover. In fact, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Just as the blood was put on the doorpost, it was Christ's blood that saves us. It is Christ's blood that causes him to pass over the sins that we have committed. We too use unleavened bread as a reminder to remove sinful ways from our lives and to commemorate the body of Jesus who was sacrificed in our place. And we drink of the fruit of the vine to remember the blood which Jesus shed on the cross and its cleansing power for every faithful Christian. We must never permit the Lord's Supper to become a mere religious rite, but it must be a constant reminder, lest we forget. I hope and I pray that one of the reasons that you are here this morning is not just out of habit of attending worship services. We have been commanded to come together. But one of the main reasons that we're to come together is to observe the Lord's Supper. And certainly it is to be a wonderful memorial for us. And we are to observe it every Lord's Day, every first day of the week, lest we forget. And then there were 12 stones at Gilgal. When young Israelite children traveled to Gilgal, they would be informed about the 12 large stones which were set up in the Jordan River as a memorial. And those stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel who, under Joshua's leadership, crossed the Jordan River on their way to conquer the land of Canaan. From Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. There was to be that memorial that was there so they would remember, so they would never forget, so they would remember it was the power of God that enabled them to go into this great land of Canaan, this promised land, and take it over. And they took it over bit by bit as they were able to conquer those enemies in that land because of God's strength. There they were to remember. Another memorial was that of the Sabbath day itself. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20 and verse 8. This celebration was to occur every Sabbath day or once a week to remind the Israelites of God's creation and his rest on the seventh day, Exodus 20 and verse 10. It was also a reminder of their deliverance from Egypt, we're told, in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. It was a day reserved for God and their worship to him. And in like manner, the first day of the week, Sunday, has been designated as a memorial day of worship for Christians. And this is to remind us that the Lord was resurrected on the first day of the week, that his church was established on a Sunday, which was 50 days following the Passover Sabbath. When you think of how often we are to worship, you say, well, how often did they worship God on the Sabbath? And it was every week. There was a Sabbath every week. If they violated the Sabbath, there was certainly punishment that was involved there, sometimes even death. And certainly we are to respect God's command. We are to worship our Lord every first day of the week. And as I said before, what brings us together in that another memorial was the Lord's Supper, that we are to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. There's another memorial that I wanted to bring your attention to, and that was baptism. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he died for you. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days, and he was resurrected never to die again. That is the gospel, and we know that the definition of the word gospel is the good news. We are never to turn the good news of Jesus Christ into bad news. It's a wonderful example that we have of the death, burial, and resurrection when we are baptized into Christ. Notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. It is a memorial for these three significant events in the life of Jesus. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. What a great symbolism. Even as Jesus died and as he was buried and as he was resurrected in baptism, we die to our sins and we're buried with Christ and we're raised to walk a new life free from sin. And the significance of this particular memorial is that it is a time for remembering what Jesus did for you. It is a time for participating or fellowshipping in his death and burial and resurrection. And it is also a time for forgetting. We're told that God will remember your sins no more. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law upon their heart and on their mind, I will write them. Now he then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I remember having a discussion one time with a gentleman who was talking about what he thought it would be like on the judgment day. And he was talking about how that we would stand before the throne of God. And we would confess every sin that we had ever committed. And then God would say, through Jesus, you're forgiven. And I said, well, what does the scripture say? What does it say about God forgetting our sins? Remembering our sins no more? I said, it won't be like that. It will be, we will stand before the judgment throne of God, and God will say, this is my child. This is the one who through the blood of Jesus is saved. I do not remember any sin that he's committed. He's righteous in the eyes of God. I don't know exactly how it will be. But I know I'm more inclined to believe it will be the latter rather than the prior. Because God will remember our sins no more. Again, in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 103, verses 10 through 13. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. If our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, and if our sins have been forgotten and are remembered no more, we will stand before God not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ as people who are forgiven. Isn't that worth remembering? Isn't that something that you want to remember every day, and particularly on the Lord's Day? Isn't that something that God has given us to rejoice in, that as his children, our sins will be remembered no more? I know that most of you who are here this morning are Christians. But there may be some who are here who have not yet become Christians and would like to do that. Like to have the joy of eternal life, the joy of forgiveness of sins as they are removed from you through the blood of Jesus. If there's anyone who needs to respond, who wants to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.